Romans chapter 1. I thought it was quite instructive in dealing with being children being disobedient to parents to note that this is mentioned in Romans chapter 1, well down the list of things, and it is attached to some beginning aspects of sin that produce the kind of things we see in 2 Timothy 3 and the things that show up in society, because people do some things early on before that that makes it worse. So the condition of children, for example, today, if they are not as obedient as they should be, stems partly from the fact that what has gone before now has built up to where this is more likely to happen. We'll see that if you follow along in Romans, you'll see how it unfolds. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Let's pray. Lord, it'd be hard to be more descriptive of what we see in our own society and why than what Paul has mentioned here. There's a lot of things that go into the way the world is, but Lord, when it boiled down to the simplest parts, it is rebellion against you that has put us in the condition that we're in society. And the manifestations of evil and sin, and even as we see at the end of this passage, how it is not only known to be wrong, it is celebrated and given approval and lauded and honored. So Lord, we must be very, very careful to be good at the beginning so that these end things do not come. Help us to see that. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, they put the space telescope into space. The thought being that on Earth, they put telescopes out on mountains off away from cities because there's a lot of light pollution in the atmosphere. And the atmosphere also distorts things. So if you get above that, above the atmosphere, out of light pollution, you would have a clear shot with a space telescope to see all the way to the end. And so they did that. The shuttle took it up. It was built, of course, wherever it was built, it was put on the shuttle and trucked up to space. So they got it out. They got it out of the little, shuttle bay. Rolled it out and put it in its position and got down to it on Earth and turned the thing on, and it didn't work. It was fuzzy. The mirror was bad, or it was out of alignment. At the time, I was thinking, wouldn't that something you would figure out on Earth before you go up there? It was completely useless. All the commands that you could send to it, the images were fuzzy, blurry. It just didn't work. And it took a subsequent mission of the space shuttle to repair that, replace the mirrors, line it up, and it was apparently been working since then. One of the purposes of it also was to discover the origins of the universe. Well, we need a space telescope for that, don't we? Because we don't have Genesis at all. But so what happened was, somewhere in the process, in the building of the space telescope, somebody messed up. And some measurement was missed, or construction of a piece of equipment was not done properly. The mirror may have been somehow improperly manufactured. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. But somewhere along the line that happened. And then, because of that, the extension of all that plan, when it finally gets in place and it's ready to be used, then it shows up to the whole world that the thing is not working. I was astonished. I wouldn't want the space telescope to find out how the Earth came to be and how the universe came to be, because I don't need it for that. But some of the pictures it shows are pretty nice. And that is interesting. I have a little telescope at home myself that is not quite as powerful as the one in space. But when the first one went up, mine was clearer than the one in space. So somewhere along the line, things messed up, and it did not work. And that is similar to what happens with evil in the world. Evil in our world, sin in our world, does not start out looking like it does at the end. Usually, a departure from the will of God is inconsequential early on. It's not noticed so much. It was noticed in the Garden of Eden. Some of the things were different. Adam and Eve felt shame. They felt guilt. They ran from God. There was a difference. But the garden was still there. Tree of life was still there. The curses that were sprung upon them because of the disobedience, pain in childbirth, Eve had not had a child yet. Adam having to bear a crop with the sweat of his brow and fight the ground to get it to come up, that had not happened yet. Most of it was unfelt as to the extension of their sin. But farther down the road, you had, in just a few chapters, the flood, where God had looked at the earth and it had become so corrupt that he destroyed the whole of it. And after that, after a little bit longer, you had the Tower of Babel, where they came together again for an evil purpose to consolidate in a nation or a city against the will of God, just to hold it together among themselves, and God scattered that. But at the beginning, it doesn't seem that it matters. And really, it is by faith and just pure obedience and following the will of God as it's revealed in Scripture, that we can see that we should do something and not feel like it is the right thing to do. at the beginning. God has put in place in society several restrictions, limits to evil. The government is supposed to be, in its purest form, something that will restrain evil. When laws are broken and the government steps in and stops it, like, for example, if there were riots today, if that ever happened in a city, we would obviously know that the mayor of the city would step in and stop it. And none of them would let it go on for months and months. Well, hello. If you lose that, then you see the result is bad. If government falls away from its responsibilities, then you get chaos and violence and rioting. I thought it was funny in Minneapolis, where they first voted to defund the police department. They were fussing the other day about where are the police when all these things were going on up there. Well, you defunded a bunch of them. So the family is another institution made by God to limit the outbreak of evil. To make children learn early on right and wrong. To learn the ways of the Lord. To curb their natural appetites. To not do just whatever they feel like doing. To learn respect. To learn what is honorable. To be a person who is concerned about others. Those are things that a family instills in children. And that bears great fruit as they live their lives. And they learn and grow and mature, and then you get a great fruit years later. Well, if you don't have that, if that restraint, if that limiting factor is gone, and children are given to do their own thing, well, then you get the opposite of that. And it builds up to where a little bit of a snowball at the top of a mountain is nothing to be concerned about. But you let it roll down a little bit and gather more snow and speed and mass, and it is a big problem. And this is what Romans speaks of. In Romans, Paul starts the book, once you get to verse 18, after the introduction, basically, where he is in the next, this chapter and the next two chapters, showing that all men are sinners, which is the first step for receiving the gospel, which he mentions in verses 16 and 17, that he's not ashamed of. It's the power of God and the salvation of everyone who believes. And the reason you believe the gospel, the reason you come to the gospel, is because you are a sinner. And the reason given by many people why they do not come to the gospel is because they are not sinners. They do not feel that they are sinners. They are better than other people. They haven't sinned as much as other people do. What they do is more or less approved of by society. It's not so bad as other things, they say. And so people don't think they're sinners. And Jesus said, you know, only those who are sick look for a physician. The Pharisees didn't think they were sick, so they didn't look for a physician. They thought they were okay without the gospel. So what Paul does is he identifies basically three groups of people. The first group are pagans, and this is the section I've read tonight. Pagans. All they have is the testimony of creation. They've been shown that there is a mighty God through what has been made. And that is how they know God. They know about the existence of God by creation. It says in these verses that it is clearly seen. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When any logical person looks at creation, they see that some great divine power made this. It takes later on down the line for people to have a big brain, a big IQ, and not be able to see that. But it's clearly seen, whether they see it or not. It's clearly seen. But instead, they have incurred the wrath of God upon them, because in verse 18 it says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They cover the truth, because that which is known of God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. So God makes it evident to them in creation. They turn away from it and they become wicked, and they cover the truth. They conceal the truth. They make it where you cannot see it. They suppress it. When they do that, that starts the ball rolling. In this section of Scripture, if you want to trace the path of evil, it starts there. It starts when people can't see God in creation, for pagans. Now, the second group are moralists. They are, you know, not pagans so much. They're not Jews, but they're kind of in the middle. But then you get to the Jews, and they've got the most revelation. So all of them, Paul concludes, all are under sin. So that's his start for Romans, so that the rest of the book, when he speaks about the gospel, they're understanding that they need the gospel, and it's not for somebody else. But the beginning of it is that they do not know God. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So they didn't know God. They didn't respond to God properly. Instead, they made God in the image of creation. You see, creation was supposed to show them that God was separate from us and of a divine majesty. His eternal power and divine nature, not part of this world, but above it. The creation shows that. In their refusal to know God and to respond to God properly, they didn't even give thanks to God. They created images of God. And in doing that, they patted themselves on the back. That's not in the Scriptures. But they were, through their reasoning, they believed that they had stumbled upon the proper way to express the person of God. So they made God like creation. Verse 23, exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So they noted that there's creation. They noted that someone made it. And even pagans know that. So figure where people are who don't know that today. They're below the pagan world. And so in order to worship God, in order to respond to God, some of them thought, well, God is like a bird. He's able to fly around. He's able to see us from above. He's able to look down upon us. Let's make him like a bird. So some made a religion of a bird. And a lot of them looked around and they said, well, God's a great man. He's a great human. He's a superman. And so they made images of God as a man. And so they had their gods that were in human form. Some made God like an insect. And like a lizard or a snake or something that they either revered or somehow attached meaning to as an expression of God. And when they did that, they thought they were wise. As verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. This is what the world does. They they sit down and think of something that seems to them to be very, very wise. It's considered to be very, very wise to accept the theory of evolution as the means by which we came to be. Very wise. And if you don't believe that, you know what they call you? A creationist. Well, you better not say that to my face. You know, it is considered to be a slanderous thing. Something that just makes you so stupid. You don't even believe in evolution. Ha ha. They think themselves wise. So they make these images. And that is their first place. And there's two words that come up. The knowledge of God they don't get. And then they exchange God for something else. So they don't know God. And then what they do know, they exchange for something else. And you'll see that word. They exchange, verse 23, exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And they thought that was pretty high level stuff. God's response was, verse 24, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Why? For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them over. You'll see that phrase in this section repeated. When they turned against God, in our day, people see God as a very needy being, and if we get away a little bit, He's going to come running and crying for us and try to get us back and woo us and bribe us and flatter us and whatever. In actuality, a point is reached where God, seeing that they've exchanged His glory for the glory of corruptible things, He lets them be on with it. He gives them over. So here's part of the process. They deny the knowledge of God. They exchange the glory of God. And then that in itself is a dishonorable place to be. So, to show that, God gives them over to that dishonor, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them because of their rejection of the knowledge of God and exchanging the truth of God for a lie. They are now committed to a lie about God. And the Lord brings some people back from that. He draws some back to understand what is right and what is not. But then what's happened to the bulk of society? They're on their own. They're doing their thing. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. There are a lot of people who see that and say that the Bible never condemns homosexuality. Okay. Not only here, but a number of places. Part of the punishment of becoming corruptible, of exchanging the truth of God for a lie, of rejecting the knowledge of God, is you become all natural. You become just sensual. You're just responding to your impulses. And that goes in every direction. So God gave them over to degrading passions. And the passions mentioned here are women exchanging the natural function for that which is unnatural. That is, being a lesbian. And men being burning in their lust for one another, we call that today happy or gay. So those, the Bible terms, are degrading passions. How did they come about? Because the knowledge of God was rejected, the glory of God was exchanged for something that was unfit of God. They began an all-sensual, all-natural, all-selfishly derived religion of idolatry. And because of that, they had no fear of God before their eyes. They did not honor the revelation of God. And the Bible makes it clear in this section that even these pagans knew at the most basic part of their being that they were wrong. That this was not right. And so they had degrading passions. And you see, it keeps building. And just verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Depraved mind. It means it becomes worthless. It's a sensor that doesn't work anymore. A depraved sensor on your car will not tell you you're out of gas. It won't tell you the engine's overheating. It will not tell you things that you really need to know or which are good to know or it was designed to tell you. So when they turned from God, they turned to idolatry, they turned to their own ideas, they thought themselves very wise, they engaged in just sensual, natural affections toward whatever. And God gave them over to it. They rejected God. You could say, it's worded here in the absolute sovereign sense, that God is sovereign over all things. It's a very accurate way to put it. You could also say that God gave them over to what they had chosen to do, which is also true. They are reaping the consequences of this. You're going to have a whole lot more of the dishonorable passions today because they're spoken of in our society as an honorable thing. And so it multiplies. So you see that this is growing. And it doesn't take long for it to grow. It really is a interesting phenomenon where just a few years ago we actually knew for absolute certainty that there were two genders. We knew that absolutely, no doubt about it. And today, you can't find some people who know how many there are. They can give you an estimate. Biden said 3 at one time at least. That means there's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more. Be more. I've seen 100. I've seen 188. All of them pretty much are a mixture of male and female. So they're having a little bit of trouble getting that absolutely divided. But it doesn't take long. And what is completely wacko becomes reasonable, which is what's happened today. It makes things much more complicated. Kids are confused because they're not being told the truth. So God gave them over to a depraved mind. That's part of that. A depraved mind, you can look at something, you can't get it anymore. You can't, it doesn't reason anymore. It doesn't work anymore. The mind is not doing its job anymore. And so they They do those things which are not proper. And then you've got the overflow of this. It begins in the list as being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, and full of, you see how it's overflowing, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. So that is the heart of it. That's where the fountain comes out. All that underneath there, the rejection of God, the rejection of the knowledge of God, the exchanging of God for something else, resting upon your own wisdom and your own passions, your own lusts, making decisions based upon a depraved mind which can't tell anything anymore. It just keeps growing. So then you get all of that evil. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. That natural limit that families make upon their children is lost. And you see it today how it's lost. And that kids are, in many cases, that they're being given their morality at school. Or it used to be MTV. I don't know if MTV is on anymore, but they used to do it. Make all kinds of what the Bible refers to as wickedness to make it normal. And kids soak that up, and their minds don't work, and their minds are still forming anyway. And the parental limits that upon behavior are taken away. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. All those things are evidence of a godlessness and a callousness. When it says you're unloving and unmerciful, you're being the opposite of God. Your natural compassion is gone. You know, and it happened just a few days ago, that one of the Supreme Court justices died, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was, I think, appointed by Clinton. And one of the things she's known for in her judicial career is the support of partial birth abortions. She thinks that's okay. And what they do with that is you have the baby. The baby's born partially. I think the head remains within the mother. And then they do their deal. They kill the baby. And in one of her opinions, she wrote, you know, when you try to stop that, all you're trying to do is you're trying to stop a woman for the right of abortion, from her rights of abortion. There's no such right as that. You see, their minds are gone. How anybody could see that and know it. Clarence Thomas wrote the dissent very wisely, a dissent for that decision when it was made. That any natural compassion in a person who has not blown their mind would follow. They can't. And I'm sorry, until they get the abortion thing out, they're not going to lecture me about how many lives you're going to save if we follow the COVID protocols. Because they don't care about life if they suck babies out of mothers. And they don't get the right to lecture us about, we could save one life if we do this. They don't care. And at the end of this, in verse 32, it shows how it has become such a hardening thing. Unloving, unmerciful. It is rejection of even the most basic compassion of humanity. But then it says in verse 32, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. There's something still in the image of God in man. That's not lost. It's certainly marred terribly. And the mind not functioning and all that. But there is in much of mankind a rejection of what they know to be wrong. They reject that it is wrong. They know it's wrong, but they reject that judgment on it. They know it's not right. But they do the same and also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I don't know how many of you are planning to write a movie or a play. Your chances of winning the approval of Hollywood greatly increase if your star is a transgendered homosexual. You're going to have a much better chance of getting an award because they admire that. Or something of that line. If it's a person that's in a heterosexual relationship, or if you're a white man, forget it. You have in our society that kind of corruption, and it is in Romans 1. And remember, Paul tells this to us to show the need for the gospel. When you read this, the pagans. When you read this, you should see, yes, this is what has happened to us because we have rejected the knowledge of God. We have exchanged the glory of God. We have relied upon our own senses, our own mind, and now we're to the point where we're approving evil. And we need to repent. That's the point of it. That's a very, very strong argument by Paul. And clearly accurate for those who can see. Disobedient to parents comes from that. The breakdown of the wisdom God has given and a departure from that to follow our own ways. And the loss of the natural limits and restraints of evil that God has placed in the world. And when that happens, things explode. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?